If you are in Christ, you have been called to be a missionary.
I'm not a missionary. I'm just sitting here in the pew.
I get it. You better listen up, though. Today on Scandia Bible Church Podcast, we welcome back to our pulpit, after an eight-year hiatus, Scandia Bible Church-supported missionary and brother in Christ, Vasily Kalitnik, who for nearly 30 years, since the fall of the USSR, has been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the very poor and landlocked Eastern European country of Moldova. For all intents and purposes, he's a modern-day circuit preacher, preaching at five different churches during the week and three on Sunday, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Following Brother Vasily, Pastor Monty echoes a short sermon that no matter where we are in the world, whether it be in Moldova or in Paulsbo, we as Christians are all missionaries. We share the same calling, same message, and serve the same Lord with Christ as the head. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, March 11th, 2018. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's welcome missionary Brother Vasily Kalitnik, followed by Pastor Monty Seemau, as they deliver a message entitled, You Are Called Here. But first, here's Elder Keith Barker to introduce our guest.
Children, did you Google Moldova and find out where it is in the world? Interestingly enough, it's about the same distance from the North Pole that we are. It's on basically the same latitude, which means if you went east from here over through New York and through France and above the Mediterranean and to the Black Sea, there it is, right above the Black Sea, little Moldova. And it's nighttime in there, children. How does that work anyway? You got that figured out? How's that work? Yeah, that's how it works. See there? Well, I always wondered about that, too. So, I have two pictures that repeatedly come to my mind when I think of Brother Vasily. One of them is his van is stuck in a mud hole on the road, and there's a guy with a horse that's there pulling him out. And I think that's so cool. And the other is his church has a whole flock of wonderful little children, and there's one picture he sent, I think, on the internet, of just so many happy children on a sunny day. And I thought that ties our churches together again because God has blessed us with this as well. Brother Vasily, I'm going to give the time over to you. And again, he's used to doing this with a big screen, and we're going to try to get by here. Arnold, I think you'll probably want to dim the lights. I don't know how if you're going to be able to see the laptop at all, but it'll work as a key for me. Please.
Dobre utro. Buona dimineața and good morning. I would say to the people of God, good morning, and the peace and love of Christ be with all of you. When I'm staying in front of God's people all the time, I'm nervous a little bit because you belong to God. And God created us. And I can't stay and just free, relax, but I'm nervous. That's really true. So when I'm staying in front of God, people should listen to the God's man. It's very important too. So I would say a couple words about me. When I was like this boy, I attended the church. The church was in the village, not so big. And I started to read the gospel. The gospel was like very old, and almost people didn't have gospel, just a few people in the village or in the city. And I grew up in the church with my mom. My dad wasn't a believer. So when I get 22 years old, I went to the army, and then after I came home after 2 years, and I continued to attend and to be involved in the ministry of, in the church local. So when I got freedom, this was 1989, I became preacher, I could say missionary, evangelistic in the village. I didn't have Bible study institute, like college Bible. I was teaching the Bible many years before. And I knew that God commanded us to preach the gospel. And we got freedom. I became preacher, like missionary, planted new church in Moldova, small country between Romania and Ukraine. It was communist time, and really people were very, very hungry about the gospel, the New Testament. Over 70 years of communist time, was persecuted, was interdicted to preach the gospel, but the church were continued to resist. So the church were planted, and in Moldova is the same like Scandia Bible Church. We don't have projector. We don't have computers. We have just exactly what you have here, the Bible, the songbook, and people, and we are worship to God. And people are coming to Christ by through Holy Spirit. So, as you already know, I have been working with your church, Scandia Bible Church, a number of years. And I'm blessed because your church is involved in my ministry in many ways. In prayer first, what is very important. And this morning I came to share with you first and say thanks for your prayer. Thanks for your supporting, financial support. And my feet is over. Your body is here. Your mind, your prayer, your heart is with me in Moldova. So we are working together, doing one work in Christ, to bring the people, the faith, the truth, there where wasn't preaching before, no any believers. We have 1,000 villages, no any believers in Moldova yet. People don't have the gospel, so God using me and sending me from Southside Baptist Church from Tacoma to preach the gospel over. We immigrated to the States 1999 with 4 kids. We were being in Tacoma for 3.5 years. I worked very hard, truck drivers, long haul. My wife worked a teacher assistant, but in the beginning, first day, we didn't know any word of English. I can't communication, nothing, absolutely. I was 47 years old. I couldn't speak nothing, absolutely. Like you couldn't say me back, good morning in Russian or Romanian. The same I came. People talking to me, I didn't know nothing. What they're talking about? So every night, every day, I was praying and God said, God bless me. You know why you brought me in the States. So the time where I have been in the States 3.5 years, God bless me. I get some churches like one of you, the same, some churches, and are working in the Moldova to bring people for Christ and spread the gospel. So I have 4 kids, 7 grandkids. In just all of kids, they are in Tacoma. Only me and wife, we are staying, working in the Moldova. So this morning, I would say that God blessed and God is with us and the Holy Spirit is working through. I am not doing nothing myself. I can do nothing, never, except through the Holy Spirit in your church too. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about Holy Spirit. The power of ministry depended of the Holy Spirit. I would like to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit, that the Holy Spirit is the most important role in the life of Christ, because the church is led by the Holy Spirit. And the church was formed by the Holy Spirit over 2,000 years ago in the Jerusalem. And the same Holy Spirit from Jerusalem through the apostle, after new disciples, new preachers, new pastors, is preaching the gospel. Scandia place here, Paul, and your places. Also in Moldova, in Africa, Russia, any place. And we love the word because it belongs to God. And since the time the Holy Spirit is bringing people to Christ, and the church continue to exist because the Holy Spirit is feeding us and people. Through the Holy Spirit, we are preaching the gospel about the King of God. Through Holy Spirit, we are preaching about the Jesus, who is Jesus, and he is amongst and the living and the dead. That Jesus is with us. Praise the Lord. So Jesus was commanded us to preach about the kingdom of God, the church being responsible of this commandment. So the church where I'm preaching, establishing new believers, just became new believer. They were different kind of people, teachers, engineers, police, simple people, bad, poor people, any kind of. They becoming to worship to God and to sing the Christian songs. And I'm teaching them to sing the Christian songs, new songs. Not the songs of this world, but Christian songs. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit is working. And from new people who became believers, just I am studying, preaching, to became preacher and missionaries or pastor. Without, like we say, Bible study, because don't have time to spend 3-5 years on the Bible study. 2-3 years already he became preacher. He became missionary in our area, new village, preaching the gospel. You are missionary here. I'm over for a while. And I'm doing the new people, new missionaries to be preachers and evangelistic for Christ. So I'm so blessing that your church are involved with me over. So I will continue to my presentation, follow about some pictures. Some this time I have little more pictures, I'm sorry about. I have a couple pictures from 2016, but almost it's 2017. So this is me and my wife. So my ministry is very important about Moldova ministry, preaching the gospel, make disciples for future ministry, people who repented, became believer, I'm baptized, and provide the house of prayer for established church. I should, because economically Moldova is very poor. In the village, almost over 95% people unemployers. You not believe. Just in small city, in town, in the city. Like I said just a couple of weeks ago, that in America, if we don't have job, our stomach is full and big. We have enough dress, better enough. But if we don't have job, we will sleep under the bridge. That's true. We will sleep under the bridge. In Moldova, if people don't have job, they have small house. they have place, room where to sleep. But for a while, they'll die because they don't have no any food. No any income. Anything is expensive. And no anybody in shop will give you free. Never. So you could compare about this different. So I'll say, wherever we are, we have problem. We should work. But in the States, we should give thanks to God. He blessing us here in States. We have enough, any kind almost. So God continue blessing the country because America is involved, one of the country in the world for the gospel. Preaching. And the church who are involved in this project, God is blessing more. So I'm preaching the gospel, provide a house of prayer for new believers. Not so big. Small house of prayer, like for 50 seats. It's not so big. And room for kids. So preaching the gospel, I'm doing different way. With evangelists through medical work, with kids and youth camp ministry, feeding orphanage and poor families, and making disciples for future ministry. So my wife, Olga, and me. So we are in Moldova. This picture, you see Moldova, small country. She had about 5 million people right now, 3.5. Just small country. And like provided, like you can see also here, what is writing here, yeah? This is the road, it's similar like in States in the summer, but the weather like in Minnesota, the same like in Minnesota we have. This you can see, we have enough meat in Moldova. This is the border control in Moldova. When you come to Moldova, you should pass off this. And we have enough sheep on the field, nice field, summertime. Goose, and we have on left side, you can see, what is on left side? Hey, kids, what is on the left side? What can you see on the left side? Oh, yes, restroom. Almost 99% people has restroom outside. They don't have water system in. Also, the water is very, not any place has. And they are going outside in middle night, early morning, late in evening. Are you going to go in the bathroom when outside is very freezing? I don't know. What can you see on the right side? Tank from truck, the top. Exactly. People are using the shower summertime. Winter, they don't have almost people shower. They're washing just in the small place in the house. This is poor, very poor life. So you can see this is the transportation, the village. Like I will say, Toyota could be Moldovan Toyota. Really, yeah. People have some of them, the cars, but just a few. We have Orthodox churches in each village, Orthodox church. To preach in Moldova, or Ukraine, or Russia, very hard. All people are Orthodox, Christian Orthodox. But you know, like similar like Catholic, it's not the way to go to the heaven. So... Winter, just I came a month ago from Moldova. It was also cold. We have enough snow, like one of these. And I'm driving each day. I'm preaching 5 times in the middle of week, different place. Each Sunday, I'm preaching 3 different churches on each Sunday. Middle day also, middle week. So I'm driving, riding on their bus. So, preaching the gospel, making disciples, baptism, providing the house of prayer, like I established the church. And like I said, my evangelist work planted the church. I'm working with some, like medical team is coming from International Baptist Church's Jack Sorg. One time per 2 years he's coming, and we are working with people, and you see people, we are invited people to the doctor. So before to have appointment to the doctor, the old patient should come through me and some pastor. We are individual, talking, explaining about faith in Christ, about the truth. And you know, some people really received Christ. Really, some people baptized. And from those people already, they are preacher right now. So this is work. People, you see, like me and my assistant pastor right now, I'm training this new guy to be pastor. So we are explaining, giving brochure today. So doctor taking after us, people going to the doctor and explain what kind of issue they have, disease. So you see, evangelistic through the events like Christmas, last Christmas, we gathered together special evangelistic for Polish people, for Polish family. We gathered over 100 Polish family and we preached them the gospel. So many of them were very amazing. Say, really, it's good and true what you're saying right now. We didn't know before. So we're preaching any place different. So you see here, under the 10th evangelistic, summer, winter, sometime, we are doing until 11, 12 o'clock p.m., middle night. We continue, and youth are coming. And we are sharing them, explain, and give the gospel. With me is working some different churches around me, youth people who has a good musical program. And after, some people repented, and we are praying. And then invite them to the church. So also in the school, this is building, Christmas building, where we did Christmas presents to kids, and we are preaching. Also, he has kids evangelistic summertime, vacation is, and invite people and youth to this playing. So you see, and the Falesh, this is in Falesh city. We have each year we preaching to the over 500-600 kids, youth each year, different places. We teach in the church, Falesh church, Bible. And we are teaching, playing with kids. And you see here, no any believers' kids. What you are seeing here, all people are unbelievers. And from these people, from these youth and kids, sometime they will come to Christ. All of them unbelievers. And we are here. You are here. Your mind, your prayer, and your support is here. So we are testimony. This is old house and the new village, old Chulako and the new Chulako. One village Russian, one village Romanian. It's 3 miles distance. And I became to plant it and preach in the same year, in the same time in the two village. And planted the church in the 5 years. We planted two church and start in the same time. So this is the old house. What we started to preach the gospel. I bought for 1,000 big land and old house. So summer camp and invited parents to hear the gospel. So this is and I'm giving the brochure. The kids coming and they are so interesting and they're taking, going home and reading. So we're feeding them outside. Just bread and some cheese, so rice or potatoes, some different kind of people, old food. You see 100 kids, they are very hungry, really, really hungry. You can't imagine how many food they are eating per time. Yeah. So in school, I'm preaching for youth. We have already some youth came to Christ, not so often, but we established the church in small Chulako. New old Chulako, this just in where established, I established the small flock, build a small house of prayer, like for 50, 60 seats inside. And this is also first door-to-door. I'm working door-to-door. Old people, new families coming to Christ. Not just with this public evangelistic, but also door-to-door. Good morning. May I come to talk with you about Christ? Oh, yes. And so some people said, no, we don't want it. So we open the small in the village. We are feeding orphanage kids, poor kids, big family, no any income. So we are feeding three times per week. And so some fund is going to like one of these childs or some family to provide the food, some medicine. A couple times per year, we are buying the food, like food bank, we'll say in Tacoma, so in Scandia Bible, in this place, food bank. And people are coming to take. So we are buying, invite people to church, and giving special food, and talking, praying about Christ. If they want to come, it's welcome. So also these families, just single kids, no father, or some woman took the child who don't have the parents, so we are supporting them. Not each month, but just temporarily. We don't have enough funds for. So you see, very happy girl and boy, and assistant mine is working, we bought just 2 months ago this food. So clothes, also we provide clothes for the needy. People are so blessed and happy to see. You see, in the village, the young girl, she bred the bake by hand, cooking, and put in the some place where they could get good bread. So the life, so not so easy. So also training disciples for future youth people here just became to Christ after 2-3 years. And you see, just all of them are new believers in the 5-6 years, and already they are right now. I spread them to preach in the gospel in some villages, not stay home. So not to believe, also I'm using them. I sent to Bible school, just temporarily Bible school, to get more knowledge. And the vacation time, I am training them, go door to door and spread the brochure, the gospel, invite people to the Christ. So old people, we cut the wood for winter. You see the girl throw out the carpet. You see the dust on. Vacuum machine doesn't have most people in the house. So. And the youth in the church are established in the Falesti. So we have several villages. This youth people who came to Christ in 10 years. So with this youth and kids, I am using them to preaching, organize the evangelistic meeting public. So almost with new believers, I'm training new believers, just came to Christ, involved. And so some of them are interested, some of them don't want it. So established this small flock, came to Christ, just five, like I said, 5 years old. It's new, new Chulaku, village Chulaku names. This is the Russian people. The kids that belong to this church. And we have one classroom. We are doing Bible study with kids. And also we made dedication about this small, not so big, just small, this house was old house. We bought and we remodeled, we rebuilt, so we make new. So it's not Brunio. This is the house like Brunio, small, not so big, where you have seen before, old house, and outside we were evangelists. So this is the new place in the same village. Inside the new flock, new believers. We have three teachers here. We have mechanic, we have drivers, we have any kind of people coming to Christ. So also we teaching the kids Sunday school and so forth. We made dedication of house of prayer and this is a senior pastor of Moldova, like we'll say bishop, so senior pastor of Moldova, John, and he congregated me. So we are praying dedication prayer. So teaching people who came to Christ, and after we are baptized, we're not baptized. We sometimes baptized in a river. This was 2016, baptized in the river. It was maybe 25 miles from Felderstedt Church. And this is baptized last 17 years, 2017, we had baptized 12 people. Usually each year we are baptized people. And before baptized, we are teaching, they should pray, pass the class, Bible class. So on the left side, we have House of Prayer in Felderstedt, where is Mother Church. And this year we have to destroy it and to build a new house because it's danger. Old house. And the church is in danger position. So on the right side, this is in the church. So right now this new the church was established in Felderstedt. So they are praying for me right now. They're waiting me to come back and bring some fund to start to build the house of prayer. So this is, you see the roof is not straight, it's curved. So it's danger to stay, and if we'll have earthquake, could be happens bad. But I'll say I don't want to be in jail. See, God is protected; He's on control. I'm not afraid. I think. But also, you see, and the ministry is, like you say, preaching any kind of this. I have here account of ABWE. All fund is going to mission board, and then I reporting them. I'm asking how much I need, how much we spend it, for and what, and where, and when. So I'm reporting to church also. I'm sorry about Scandia Bible Church. I didn't send you many, many reports. So from now, I'm promised that regularly updates I will send to you. And you should know also where I am, what God is doing. So, like on this, like you saw presentation, it's not my work. It's all together. We are one body, one flock of Christ, God's people. The same message, the same gospel, the same Holy Spirit, the same truth and baptized. So, may God bless you. And I have good privilege to be with you this morning. So you are in my mind all the time too. When I am there, you are in my mind. And I am praying for you with my family. May God bless you. Thank you for my passion and for my language, English. If somebody wants to know more, was hard to understand, after worship, just come to me. I'll try to explain more. Thank you very much. May God bless your pastor, your family, your kids, your church, and you are here. We'll be with you all the time. Be blessed.
Well, thank you, Brother Vasily. And I think one of the things that immediately stood out to me, couple things really. One, the focus on and a realization that everything that is done in the church comes from the power of God, and that we really, you preach a message, you preach the gospel, but it is God who turns hearts and makes that effective. A couple of things that Vasily said that I think that is really helpful for us to understand, and I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Well, one, before I go any further, I have a shorter message, so don't panic. But one of the things that he said that really stood out to me was the fact that we are all one in Christ, and that I don't know if you caught it, but he said, you are missionaries here. And I want to talk a little bit more about that. But if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, many of you have probably heard the name of William Carey. I know Keith has, because you couldn't go through Prairie Bible College and not hear that name. But William Carey was an English missionary, and he is known as the father of modern missions. And he served as a missionary in India. Some say he was the country's first cultural anthropologist as well. His work led to the establishment of the Baptist Missionary Society, still around today, about 350 missionaries serving in 40 countries. But in December of 1814, William Carey, his son Felix, he resigned his position as a missionary, and he accepted a position as the ambassador to Calcutta for the King of Burma. And he had grown up in India, so he was very familiar. He spoke fluently the Bengali language, also Pali and Sanskrit, and he had picked up Burmese as well. And so a lot of people felt that he was in an ideal capacity to serve as an ambassador, and he could represent the King of Burma well. Well, and of course, an ambassadorial position is nothing to sneeze at, as the saying goes, but his father was really not happy with the appointment. And in fact, a letter is preserved during that time period where William Carey wrote back to folks in England, and he made the statement, "Felix has shriveled from a missionary into an ambassador." And while the ambassadorial position for Felix did prove to be problematic, there is a fundamental irony with Carey's statement. You see, the Bible calls the Christian to be both. The Bible calls the Christian to be both a missionary and an ambassador. And in fact, furthermore, you can't be one without the other. The term missionary means a person who is sent. An ambassador is a person who is sent with a message. All Christians are not only sent out, we are sent out with a message. Sometimes we don't think of ourselves as missionaries, and or even having that type of calling. I remember the last time that Dave Harden was here, as he addressed himself, he had said, the difference between you, meaning those sitting here, and himself, he said, is where we serve. He said, I serve in a foreign context. You serve God here, but we have the same calling. Brother Vasily just said the same thing. We have the same calling. We're part of the same church. We serve the same Lord. Christ is the head. And I think that's so important to realize for us. While Dave is called to Mexico and Brother Vasily is called to Moldova, you are called here. Same message, and we serve the same sovereign. If you turn, if you're not there yet, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is a passage I think it's familiar to most of us. I'm going to be reading from the ESV, starting at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. We ask that he write its eternal truth on our hearts and minds this morning. Now, a couple of things I want to point out with this passage. First of all, we clearly see that there is a message. Paul calls it the message of reconciliation, or the word of reconciliation. The Christian has been transformed. And Paul wrote in Ephesians that we were once dead in trespasses, that we were sons of disobedience, that we were living in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. He calls us by nature children of wrath. And that's a pretty dire condition that one could receive. In fact, it's a condition that is so dire that if you were looking upon it, you'd say that it is a condition without hope. And so the gospel comes as almost a surprise. It comes as good news to a world that really has no good news that they're expecting to receive. Paul doesn't describe the human race as merely a lost people looking to be found. He doesn't describe our condition as a drowning people hoping to grab a hold of a life ring that may float by. He looks and he describes us in the most helpless state and condition that he could think of. He describes our condition as dead, a deadness in sin. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." And because that is the state of our condition, we cannot make that first move to save ourselves. A dead man makes no move. And so God is the one who must make dead hearts alive. That's why Brother Vasily kept talking about the reliance on the Holy Spirit to do the great work. That's not a work that man can do. We are born at spiritual enmity with God. And while we often think of the gospel from the standpoint of justification, that God imputes our sin to Christ and imputes Christ's righteousness to our account, and we receive Christ's merit and his righteousness, I think we often stop short of what the fullness of the gospel brings. Last week, as Keith was talking, and we had our meeting on Wednesday evening, looking at the 1689 London Baptist Confession, we spoke of the doctrine of adoption. And in the 1689, adoption follows justification. In essence, we leave the courtroom and we enter the family room, as it were. And because of the gospel, we have now an intimate and familial relationship with God. Christ is seen as our older brother. We are considered his fellow heir. God, for the Christian, can now be called Father. Something that we could not do as unbelievers. God is creator, but he was not intimately known as Father. In order to have a relationship like that, the gospel must bring an amazing reality into the life of the Christian. The gospel brings reconciliation. Now, sometimes we think of reconciliation in very human terms. Maybe you have had a problem with a friend, and a mutual friend might bring the two of you together to solve your problems. Maybe you're a young person in here, and you know what it's like to get into a squabble, let's say, with a sibling, and you're angry with your brother, or you're angry with your sister, and dad or mom comes and sorts through the problems with you. Maybe if you're a couple brothers in here, you might have known what it was even like to wrestle or fight in anger, only to have dad come and separate you, and maybe to say to you, shake hands or something like that. And even as you do it, and you think, okay, this is going to be settled because dad says that it shall be settled, in your mind you think, I'm shaking your hand, but you're still not my favorite person. Right? We laugh because you know it's true. And some of you think, yeah, you've been reading my mail. But here's the thing. All of those situations, we see a very human side of reconciliation. It's unlike what we see in the gospel. The gospel brings complete and full reconciliation. Complete and full, true reconciliation. You may have been in a situation where you say, well, yes, but this type of healing takes time to bring. Not so in the gospel. You go from a dead heart to a softened heart. You go from being at enmity with God to the realization that God has covered all of your sins by the cross of Jesus Christ. Your justification is immediate. God immediately brings full reconciliation. Now, you may not be walking like a child of God yet. We're not talking about sanctification here. But God positionally looks at you as reconciled. Because of the gospel, you're not only a new creature, but God has reconciled you to himself. We who are once at enmity with God, we who are members or were members of Adam's fallen race, God has reconciled us to himself. God is the party that we have sinned against. He is the offended party. God is yet still the party who brings us to himself in reconciliation. Listen to how Paul words this in the 5th chapter of Romans. He writes, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone will dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Notice that Paul says that we have now received the reconciliation. Reconciliation is something that we receive, not something that we do. That's an important distinction. It's not like you were in a problem with a sibling and both of you come and meet on equal terms. You give some, God gives some, and somehow there's reconciliation. It's not like that at all. You receive the reconciliation because it's not your work that brings it about. It's Christ's work that brings it about. You are on the receiving end of it. Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, "Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." He has now reconciled you. Now, if you are reconciled, God has given you a mission. Now, we're familiar with that idea. We think of the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Paul is describing that same mission to us here in 2 Corinthians 5, and he's calling that mission the ministry of reconciliation. And I think that's where we get some problems, because some people think, I'm just sitting in the pew, I don't have a ministry. Oh, yes, you do. God has called all of us to a ministry. Your ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. In light of the reconciliation that you have received, God has given you a message to share with those who are yet at enmity with God. All of us. What is the ministry? Verse 19. That is, in Christ Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So our ministry that we've been given, that has been described by the Apostle Paul as this ministry of reconciliation, Paul adds and he further fleshes this out and he calls it the word of reconciliation. Logos katalage, the word of reconciliation. How does that all tie together? Look what Paul writes in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We who were once God's enemies have been reconciled. We've received reconciliation that God has made and provided for us in Christ. God has now given us the ministry or the word of reconciliation. And that is our message. Are you seeing it yet? The reason why Paul uses the term ambassador, the reason why that's translated that way in the English. That's why. Because an ambassador is a person that's sent with a message. That's our job. We are all ambassadors to Christ. In fact, there's more than that. An ambassador is a person that's not only sent with a message, but he's sent from one sovereign to another kingdom. You go from your king and you reside in a foreign land. Now, remember I said Dave Harden said, the difference is I'm living in a foreign context. What I want you to understand is all of us are living in a foreign context. An ambassador is sent to another kingdom. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, everywhere in the Bible, God's people are described as strangers, aliens, and exiles. That's the way we are described. We're exiles on earth. In fact, that's the exact same. Those three words are used in Hebrews chapter 11, speaking of the patriarchs of the faith. Peter, in his first epistle, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." In fact, because of our reconciliation, we who had once been strangers to God are not strangers to God. We're now strangers to the world. Ephesians chapter 2. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. I thought we were. Listen. But your fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We're no longer strangers and aliens to God's kingdom, but God, through that, makes us a citizen of his kingdom and strangers and aliens to all the world. That's how we are to live. And while God is the only one who can cause reconciliation, and man must be the one to receive it, meaning that we can do nothing, yet God gives the duty and mission to the redeemed to be the means by which he brings reconciliation about. We are the ones he's entrusted with the message. God never has had a plan B. This is his plan for fallen sinners who have been redeemed to preach a message of reconciliation to a lost and fallen world, where we live now as a stranger, as an alien, and we represent a kingdom, the kingdom of God, in which we are fellow citizens. Doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter if you are a resident of Moldova or in Mexico or in Canada, you are a citizen of God's kingdom and you are a stranger where you live. Paul describes us as making an appeal, literally begging those that are lost to be reconciled on the behalf of Christ, who is our King, our Sovereign. That's our message. How do we live in this world? We live as strangers and aliens. We are representing the King of the universe. It doesn't matter where you live. Again, it doesn't matter if you're in Moldova, if you're in China, or if you're in Poulsbo. It doesn't matter what's on your passport. It doesn't matter what your work visa says. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. If you are in Christ, then you are to live as a stranger and an alien, and you are called by God and commissioned by God, your King, as an ambassador everywhere you go. And you have the only message of hope to a lost and fallen world. The message of the person and work of Jesus Christ and what he has done on behalf of sinners. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, our hearts are joined with Brother Vasily. We look at his calling and we hear our calling. We too, we live in the most unchurched place in the United States. We too look around and see people who are not reconciled to you. And we can't wait for you to bring up someone to reach them, because you have called us to that task. It's not our job to save them. We can't do that.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. Thanks again for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Moldova Ministries and Vasily and Olga Kalitnik, please visit the sermon notes for today's message. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandibiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. As a reminder for your listening convenience, you can also catch Scandi Bible Church podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, and on Google Play. Scandi Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Poulsbo, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandi Bible Church, may God richly bless you.